Okay, folks, welcome aboard. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM, your best and local community radio station. Today is January 28th, I think, and my guests today in order, sitting from my left to right, are Devin Harmick.
Harmick.
And Tony is back in the middle of Tony Tennant, and also Eric Lockie. Thanks for coming out today, you guys. It's going to be a great show. We're going to have lots of talk about agriculture and so on, and I hope you had a safe trip, too. No icy roads.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jeff. Appreciate it.
This is going to be a good time. So we'll start out. You brought some great music. Let's start out. We'll play a few songs, a few promos that we have to get the show underway, get you settled in, folks, stay locked in, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Subi Proud. This is my song, Can't Unpave the Parking Lot, on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. Rubber meets gravel on County Road 9, in the heart of the fields and fresh air. Thought I'd left my worries behind, till I saw it standing there. Larger than life development sign, cast a shadow on the autumn corn. Farm at the finish line, another subdivision's born. We can't pave the parking lot, paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Back to my senses, overwhelmed by this moment of truth. We bulldozed, stripped, and left it defenseless. We're turning trees into white picket fences. There's gotta be more we can do. Shut up, cause they care. A piece of heaven had been spared. We can pave the parking lot. Paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Take better care what we got. Gravel on County Road 9, in the heart of the fields and the fresh air.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Mobilizing the youth of today, educating them in a better way, training so they won't go astray. Hear what me say, yeah. Give your head to clearer thinking, loyal heart, got to be persevering. Do the Lord a service, make your hands willing, your health for better living.
4-H
for community and country.
4-H
respond to food security.
4-H
I gotta make the best better. Let us get together.
4-H.
Okay, folks, hope you had a chance to settle in, and we're on underway here at the Agricultural Show here on a Tuesday in a cool January of 2013. It's pretty, 2014.
Yeah.
So, your host does that frequently, have little gaps. Thanks so much, Eric. And when we start there, Eric, you're in the agricultural business with your compadres here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you call home.
Well, my name is Eric Lockie, and I am from the Air branch of FS Partners, and I reign from Tillsburg, Ontario.
Good part of the world.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, and you other guys want to tell our listeners where you...
I work with Eric and Air. I'm a crop specialist, and I live in Ancaster.
And your name is Tony Tennant?
That's me.
Yes. I know our webcam quite kind of pick out everybody in the thing here. It's the magic of radio.
Yeah, and I'm Devin Homick. I work out of our Delhi location for FS Partners, and I also live in Tilsonburg.
So, folks, today our show is a little bit about the stuff in behind the headlines on agriculture. And in a nutshell today, as you drive through the countryside in the region of Waterloo, you'll see fields of corn and soybeans. I'm not too sure what they are, but you see crops growing. And then, of course, you know, it ends up in all kinds of things, obviously, in your food supply. And, you've heard about ethanol, you've heard about biofuels and so on. Well, there's a lot of work in between, and my guests today are part of that a group that is in that long chain of delivering crops from the field that you can see driving around till it shows up on either your fuel bill or your food stores and so on. And Eric, tell us what your job title is and where do you fit into that thing?
Well, at harvest time, I'm a grain originator, so mm-hmm. when it is time to harvest, that would be, depending on what the actual crop is, usually I would say in October, November, when they take it off the fields, we bring it into our facility, mm-hmm. and I will handle it there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that involves weighing that crop and so on?
Weighing it and testing it and...
grading it.
And grading it. Thank mm-hmm. you, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, but right off the bat, I want to say, I know you guys get busy, and you often wear each other's hats. That's just the way it is. It gets busy. And someone who says they might be a grain originator can obviously be billing stuff, too.
Absolutely right. Yeah, we pick up each other, because it is definitely a different kind of monster in harvest time.
Yeah.
And, we're definitely a team, and, we definitely pick each other up. So.
Yeah. So... you're one of the first people you see walking in the door down there. Tony, yourself, tell our listeners what your title is and where do you fit into the scheme of things.
I'm a crop specialist, so my job is to bring in the most grain into Eric. So I help the farmers boost their yields mm-hmm. So they can bring in more grain.
And that's because they have to use fertilizers and spray and weed control.
Yep.
And insects and so on they have to worry about. So your expertise can help the farmer pick which of those products is most likely and most especially if you get really fine down, you get down to his actual soil test.
Exactly,
levels.
Soil testing, crop fertility. Yeah.
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 And for fun, sometimes you do some sales as well, too.
That's right. That's right.
All of Tony's hard work at the beginning of the season makes my job a whole lot easier. So it's nice to have Tony on my team.
And Devin, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a zone originator. So I have a fairly large trading area that I go out to the farm and try to source that grain to bring it from the field to the end process. Mm. So that's what I do.
So today we're just going to focus on that part there. I'm going to pretend I'm the farmer. It's not hard to do because I do that.
what a stretch, Jeff.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So so I hope our listeners can will enjoy this. We'll talk a little bit about what happens when the farmer decides to go and grow a crop, and who he talks to, and what kind of advice you get about that. But let's play a song here first. Eric, you're very kindly brought along some songs, and I just got them tuned up here, and you brought a lot, buddy. I mean, it's going to be hard to play.
I just thought I'd come prepared.
So I got one here that said it's the USS, This Is the Best.
Yeah, it's just a song on the radio nowadays, okay. And I just, it's just one of many.
Okay.
It's a great tune.
So. And why do you like this song? How did you first hear this song?
Just, honestly, I was driving home from air one day from work, and I kind of heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what, kind of a snappy beat, and it's an acquired taste, but hopefully everybody likes it.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll play this song. We'll be back, folks, with the Air Call Show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a bit.
Your supermodels and your broken beer bottles. I don't care, party anywhere. I'm broke, man, possibly beyond repair. This is the best, this is the best. My head is such a fucking mess. This is the best, crack house arrest. My head's a mess. Well, I woke up on a Monday, I've been feeling pretty wild. And put me in the lost and found. I don't care, throw me anywhere. I'm cool, man, possibly beyond repair. This is the best, this is the best. My head is such a f***ing mess. This is the best, crack house arrest. My head's a mess. Well, I woke up on a Monday. I'd been feeling pretty wired. I've been wide awake since Wednesday. I was feeling so inspired by the state of my own execution. Drop me cause I can't let go. Oh, 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 oh. On my way up, wish me good luck. Mission control, I'm crushing like a monster truck. I should care, but I don't care. I f***ing don't care, don't care. Well, I woke up on a Monday. I've been feeling pretty wired. I've been wide awake since Wednesday. I was feeling so inspired by the state of my own execution.
Hi, this is Eric Lockie from the FS Air Branch in Air. You are listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of the society.
Thanks, Eric, for doing that. And good choice in music. That one really, really rocks there.
Yeah. Tries to warm me up on a cold day, Jeff.
I bet you. You must have needed some myriad, you know, are you driving home or going to work with that song?
Usually it's on the way out.
Okay.
Going home.
Going home, just to kind of, you know, get that, reset that old brain.
Get
there.
The blood pumping,
yeah. Yeah, good work. Well, thanks again, and thanks for doing that promo. So, once again, folks, you're listening to the Agriculture Show here on TKMS Radio with you, Sound FM. And my guests today are representing the one of the suppliers for the agriculture industries and the long process that brings agricultural goods to your table and to your lifestyle. So in this section, I'm going to pretend I'm the farmer. And I'm going to walk people through what happens and how I go about getting that job done as I do my thing. So, you know, I want to know what things cost and what, how much I can get in the way of a return for this thing. So I guess, you know, first things first, I want to find out what do things cost and so on and so forth. And so I guess, Tony, that'd be kind of your up your things.
Yeah, we do have budgets for growers.
Yeah, so I'll go down and see Tony, for instance, and I'll say, Tony, what is it going to cost me to grow corn this year? And he'll say, well, these products, and he'll make recommendations on, you know, this is a good product. Or that's pretty much sum it up. Do you want to add anything to that, Tony?
Yep, we do a cost of production for the customers. It includes their fertilizer, cost of combining, drying, planting, tillage, trucking, drying. So there's a lot that goes into a budget.
Mm-hmm. And do you probably use, are you looking at the OMAFA? OMAFA sent out the crop budgets, that kind of research.
We do our own.
Do your own too?
Yeah, we have a lot of in-house training.
Mm-hmm. So with that kind of information, then I can decide, well, now it's time to go and buy these things, and I would probably talk to you about there's options for buying at the time, like before the crop comes off, and also when you've actually used the product, and sometimes delayed payment until you actually harvest. So. Mm-hmm. Numerous ways for a producer to be able to finance or his purchases to grow that corn crop.
Right.
Okay. So as I know, Eric, he does a little bit of that too at times because he's busy trying to get all these farmers to see him first, usually because Tony's usually out in the field doing something like that there. So that'd be the first step. What else, Tony? I guess people might want to know some other things about that. You know, you have a wide variety of products you can suggest to farmers. You know, what's some of the challenges that the farmers throw at you? What about weed control? There's different kinds. Each farm's different, right?
Yeah, the advising the farmer on best management practices is what I like the best, and it involves a lot of listening, what their current practices are, and how we can make those better.
Mm-hmm. And the public's assured that you're guided by whatever the laws of the land are at the time, where there's even more stringent laws about what products to use and when, environmental concerns,
yeah,
that
Health
sort of thing.
Canada, PMRA, we're heavily regulated that way.
And you mentioned you do a lot of in-house training, too. Like, you must do a ton of courses, huh? Tell us, our listeners, what kind of training you have to do your trade.
In 2006, I received my certified crop advisor, and in order to maintain your certified crop advisor, you have to earn 40 credits a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 80 hours of in-class training.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of things that would you be doing in that?
I just attended the Southwest Ag Conference, and they had 26 different
speakers,
yeah,
lecturers,
yeah,
those guys,
yeah, everything from manure management to weed identification. So it's a huge spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's I think people wouldn't realize they know you probably gotta go buy seed and fertilizer, but probably didn't realize how much is in behind that, regulations and best management practices and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's. I think we'll just play another song here, and then we'll talk more about the next step, because we kind of covered the first step, which is going and buying the stuff, and then we'll talk to Eric a bit more about what do I do with it after I got it delivered. Does that sound fair enough?
Sounds good, Jeff.
Okay, so, Eric, let's pick another song here. Now, you had a quick look at the playlist. Now, which one were you thinking I should play next?
Let's play that Tragically Hip one, Jeff.
Okay, so, it's called Three Pistols?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay.
Great Canadian band.
Yes, it is.
From Kingston, Ontario.
Yep.
See, there you go. Okay, we will be right back.
This is Devin Homick from the Delhi location, FS Partners. You're listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of the society.
Thanks, Devin. That's good work.
Thanks. Great.
So we're on to the next part of our show. We just had been previously talking this segment before the segment to Tony and talking a little bit about the kind of inputs it takes to grow corn and crops and beans and stuff. And now we'll talk a little bit about the marketing of those crops, I think. And if that's good for you guys, let's start with that thing. So what's a farmer faced with after he's got his crop in the ground, or he's anticipating growing?
So when Tony does that work behind the cost of production, that's where we come in and help to try to offset those costs. So mm-hmm. So you know, we're looking at how can we market that crop to make that producer profitable. Mm-hmm. So today we trade over the Chicago Board of Trade, so it's similar to the stock market. Mm-hmm. It's most of our products trade over it, and ultimately we're looking at setting a Canadian price for that crop, and then what the market will pay for that corn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we work very closely with our producers, trying to keep them informed. Because the market is so global, you know, we're just trying to always keep in front of them and keep that information there.
And so that's how they'll make a profit, not that yours. Listeners should know that there's other ways farmers can buy a type of price insurance from the government, and there's other programs out there because it can be very... Like in the last year, the price of corn went from $8 to $4.
Yeah.
And that's a huge income swing that I think any business person would appreciate, that is pretty hard to handle. Mm-hmm. And so there's numerous programs out there to somewhat mitigate those swings. But the important part of it is, that, as you point out, it's all based on an international market based out of Chicago. And on that basis, then you provide the service that you can either sell before, during, or after harvest. Can you tell a little about the mechanics about that? You want to tell our listeners how that's done? How can you do that?
Sure. So the farmer today could call in and he could book the price for already the 2014 crop. Mm-hmm. We're actually already, you know, starting to market stuff out into the summer of 2015. Mm. So that's a guy that would have his own grain that he would be looking to market that later on in the marketing year. So there's definitely a lot of opportunity. Guys, or else guys today could deliver to one of our facilities, sell right there over the pit, or in turn they can store it at one of our facilities and we can market that crop later on throughout the year, hoping for some sort of market rally that'll, again, make them profitable.
Mm-hmm. What you do offer is forward pricing, because it's really nice to get a higher price, but controlling risk or losing money is not a good idea.
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't come. Sometimes the price isn't where you thought it was going to be when harvest comes. So
yeah,
risk management is a huge part of the grain marketing. It's really a number of averages. It's really tough to hit that very top of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, hopefully that they can ride that upward trend if the market does give it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's rare at the coffee shop that you hear the guy sell at the top of the market all the time. So it's nice to cover a little bit of, like, I call it a little something sometimes, just to cover your bases. So
yeah, just get something on the books or get it sold or prepare to sell some of it. Yeah, so it's certainly not an easy job, and I bet you get all kinds of questions about when, where, and what. But you do the best you can, but it's not easy.
Yeah, we're asked all the time as to when is the opportune time to sell, and charts will tell you one thing, but when we saw the drought of 2012, you know, the market actually did opposite what the charts normally do. Normally, we see that spring rally in the springtime, where in 2012, when the drought hit, that market just ran a parabolic move up, and gave guys great marketing opportunity, but some guys had sold earlier, so they thought they had lost that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, I was reading in the paper today about the perception of this year's winter, and we think it's pretty cold, but on the average, there was a colder one in 2009, but we remember the most recent thing. And so it is true in grain marketing, too, is that a lot of decisions are made on what happened last year and guide the thing. But long term, I think there's some anniversary dates that generally tend to be a good time to sell. Harvest can be a great time to sell.
Definitely. Right? Yeah, we've seen that in the past. Past the market, if you look at even, you know, corn and beans, if this year guys would have sold right on the scale, the beans especially, the market was quite strong. Now, the market has stayed fairly strong on the bean side of thing, where corn has been fairly flat.
So for our listeners might not appreciate, but you harvest only once a year, so there's this huge pile of stuff out there, then the rest of the year there's none available unless you go internationally. That's why we have these swings, because clearly, you know, as our listener might understand, well, if everybody's selling one time, that's got to be your lowest price, and it should actually go up because there's no more produced in the middle of winter, so they should sell it then when the price should be better. But that's the game, isn't it? How much weighting do you put on those factors?
The market is made up so much of that U.S. information. So we're always looking at, we really look at what the U.S. is going to do, and that really seems to drive the market in one way or another. So it's tough to say, because there's places that are storing crop throughout the year to move that grain throughout the year. But there is certain commodities, somewhere in the world, there's certain commodities that are being being harvested at one point around the calendar year. It's somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere. It's only February that there's not a crop being harvested somewhere in the world.
Right. And February, isn't that crazy? February right now, there'll actually be soybeans coming off in South America.
Yeah, so I think it was February. I just remember reading it just recently that every month of the year there's something being harvested somewhere. Okay. Now, you had brought along a little clip from a marketer in the organization who puts out a weekly clip. I don't know if you want to play that now or not. What we could do, let's play another song, and in our next segment we'll play the clip and talk a little bit about what our listeners are hearing on that. Does that sound
sure
pretty good?
Good,
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking for a song by The Trues. Is that what you want to play
by
next,
the
Eric?
Trues, yeah.
Okay. I wonder how far down that was. So,
can I play something else? I think it's
sure.
I think
by
it,
all means.
Breaking Benjamin?
Sure. That's, yep.
That good?
Yeah, that'll be a great song. Yeah.
You hesitated.
No, it's fine. I just
listened.
That's fine, yeah.
All right, another song here from Eric's extensive collection of music. I can't get it all on my playlist. I just got the first five or six. We'll be right back. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 1.2 Sound FM. See you in a bit.
This is Tony Tennant from FS Partners. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents farmers, the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks, Tony. I know it's kind of a surprise you there, but thanks for doing that. Appreciate that.
Clutch, Tony. That was very clutch, by the way.
Yeah, that's quite good. All right, so we're in segment number three, and we had talked to Tony previously about the production side of it. We'll do some wrap-up on that later on. And last segment, we talked a little bit about the next thing is getting an income for that crop. Now, you very kindly brought along a clip, and tell our listeners what that clip is before we listen to it and where it ties in with agriculture.
Our development marketer, Don Cabas from Great Lakes Grain, he does a little weekly blurb just about the markets of what happened in the past week. And we sent it out to most of our farmers on our website, and it is outstanding. Don does a great job, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Okay, we'll play that, and then you can hopefully you can think in the minds of our listeners, explain what's going on here, and we'll follow up with that after this clip is done.
Perfect.
Stay tuned.
This is Don Gabbas with your market update for Friday, January 24th. Certainly a cold and blustery day today. They call this a polar vortex. We used to call this a cold snap. For the week, commodities, fairly quiet week in the corn patch. Corn values were up about 5 cents for the week. New crop corn was up 9 for the week, of which basis went up about 3 cents. Canadian dollar is probably the biggest news this week. And we finished the week at 90.23. I'm thinking that the dollar likely stabilized kind of where it is. Well, we're going to see some jumping around. Don't get me wrong. But to see a major upswing, I doubt is back in the cards, but feels like, settling out here around 90 cents is maybe not a bad spot for it to be. Corn exports were strong again this week. Year-to-date numbers have doubled last year's numbers. Additional sales today were reported to Spain, Egypt, and Japan. So more, lower prices have attracted sales to other countries. Informa out late last week with some fairly big acreage numbers for 2014. Add in a trend line yield, same story. The pile gets a little bigger. Safras out of Brazil estimates the corn crop about 5.6 million metric tons higher than the USDA estimates. So we got a big crop there. Ethanol margins on the demand side. So ethanol margins remain good. plants in Ontario seem to be covered over the next few months. Feed market is certainly strong as of late, with cattle prices doing what they're doing. So there is some renewed demand for corn there. Looks like the ports are lining up for some spring shipment to continually move out this cheap corn out of Ontario. Soybeans lost 19 cents for the week. However, the basis gained about 13 cents. So Chicago lost almost 32 cents on the March. New crop beans remained even for the week as futures dropped 16, but basis got her right back there, so we didn't do anything on new crop. Canadian dollar was to benefit you there. Rain in Argentina dropped beans about 36 cents on Wednesday. Some of the weather premium is appearing to be leaving the bean market. Topsoil conditions have improved in Argentina with the recent rains. Cancellation of beans continue this week from China. So cancellations from the U.S. and then they'll likely get replaced with Brazilian beans. Argentine government announced overnight that certain citizens will be allowed to own U.S. dollars. This is a complete reversal from a year ago. Farmers have been reluctant sellers in Argentina of beans with the devaluation of the peso. This is unknown whether this will allow farmers to sell beans and own U.S. dollars. This might bring more beans to the market. Crush margins remain strong for crushers and bean demand remains strong. So I'm not terribly negative on old crop beans. New crop beans I'm a little worried on. Wheat values gained about 12 cents, certainly all basis this week. Question still out on whether winter kill is a big issue throughout Ontario and the U.S. You know, come to your marketing, continue to put offers into our online offer center. You're going away on a vacation, put those in there. You never know what happens to that price, but don't just take a vacation from your marketing. Make sure you put a few more of those offers in and let our staff help you do that. That's all I have for you this week. Try and stay warm. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, wow, there's a lot of information on that. I've just been scratching down while I went through, and I've got like 10 points here. Let's just kind of, well, unless you guys want to start, what did we hear there? I heard dollar exports, crop estimates, ethanol, feed, spring shipments, rain in Argentina, U.S. dollars in Argentina, crushers, online offer. Where do you want to start?
Well, first off, just a fantastic job by Don Cavas. Just excellent every week. But you know what? That's the thing, though, Jeff, and our listeners out there. There's a lot that goes into marketing your grain. I mean, it's a worldwide things that can happen globally will affect the markets, and mm-hmm. It's tough to keep up on stuff, and that's our jobs as originators. We just want to keep the farmers involved on what's going on. I know it's sometimes it's overload, but you know, just try to stay in front of them, and it's a tough job to market your grain. I mean, some farmers are great at putting in their crop and growing it and getting it to where it should be, but the marketing side kind of takes a back seat sometimes because there's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. So that's just our job. And like I said, that little blurb right there, that's a lot to digest for a farmer. So they can call us anytime at the branches and pick our brains and just talk about markets with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just to help our listeners a bit there, why do they mention a dollar when it comes to the price of crop? What does that have to do with anything? Why should a dollar matter?
Yeah, so we trade today in, like everything's done over Chicago Board of Trade, as I said before.
So prices are set in.
So it's U.S. currencies.
U.S. currency, the price is set, yeah.
Yeah, so everything for us gets converted into Canadian dollars. And I know they were talking there about South America and I believe about the pesos, how they were trying to do something different with U.S. to hedge against the U.S. currency and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing. It's a global market. Currencies have a big impact, especially on our basis. So to look into the market itself, we trade Chicago Board of Trade plus or minus basis to give us our final cash price for the farmer.
So for our listeners, then, basis is that adjustment for currency in this case, and also some peripheral things about transportation. But
yes, and local supply and demand can impact basis as well.
So that probably makes sense to people. Well, how would you? So what is basis when it comes to currency? So you point out it was bought in U.S. the price of trade in U.S. currency.
Yeah, and then we convert that into Canadian dollars.
So what does that mean when our dollar is at 90 cents? What does that mean to the price of crop?
It makes our grain cheaper for the Americans to buy. So it makes it, our grain is...
Right. So it that will usually improve our basis.
Our exports will increase.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't want... What about our... What do we want to export if we have to feed ourselves?
There'll be times when the crop is actually going across the border, and there'll be times when they're passing each other. It all depends when that trade was made.
Yeah.
Because as I said, we can go out further in the future. And so, you know, maybe one market at the time is a spot market on the nearby, and they're going across the border. But, you know, months prior, they had made a sale for stuff to go the opposite way. So you just never know. The market, it's very fluid, and a lot of stuff is happening.
And so our listeners should know that it's not just a straight, you know, how much is it, but it has other factors in behind that they may not have understood basis on.
There's a lot of stuff I'm learning every day.
But you know, it may be not unusual. Certainly, we have companies in the Wadley region who do sell things internationally, and they can talk about currency issues when it comes to selling their computers or softwares in other jurisdictions, depending on whose money it's being compared to, I guess. Right. So basis is not an unusual thing. It's just as how currency is expressed in grain trade.
Right.
So we also talked about ethanol. What does ethanol have to do with the price of crops? So what does our listeners have to know about ethanol?
So ethanol, when we look at that, you know, it you know, years ago it wasn't as big of a thing, but it's really created an extra demand, especially when you start looking at corn. You know, back before ethanol, the acreage wasn't near what it is today. You know, at that time, you know, 70 million acres of corn in the U.S. was a big number. Now we're getting into 90 plus million acres of corn. So that it's just driven that demand side of things.
Yeah, it's a new market for the corn crop.
Definitely.
And I think that they do some wheat in a pinch. They make ethanol out of wheat at times.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. You know, it's a different process, but they can do it with wheat.
So feed requirement. Well, I think most people would get that. I grow some crops, and the animals eat it.
Right.
So part of the price of crop is set by how many animals are out there.
Yep.
And that's got its own algorithm, just where guys have to decide whether it's worthwhile to feed more or less pigs or cattle. So
right, and you saw that in 2012 when the corn market really spiked. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk of people liquidating their herds, so starting to lower their numbers just because the feed costs had gotten so high. Yeah. So there needs to be a relation there between the cost of feed and you know what the product is worth.
And just one other thing that we covered anything, but when Don says the word crushers, he's not talking about a road hockey team, I guess. Well, tell us what the crushers. What does that mean in the scheme of things?
So the crushers. So that means the type of soybean. So they're a crusher soybean. So they're actually going to a place like Bungie and Hamilton, and they're a crusher type soybean. So there's IP soybeans, which is identity preserved soybean, that has a special market usage. So it might be very high in protein, or it has some other usage. But a crusher bean is just your regular soybean that's going to the crusher or being exported to another country.
So just what crush means for our listeners, they don't quite understand, is the soybean is deconstituted into its oil and its meal.
Right.
And the oil is vegetable oil, or it can be a biofuel, and the meal becomes cattle feed.
Correct.
Okay. So just for our listeners, kind of they... It's easy for us to talk, you know, I get it when you guys are talking, but we don't want to forget to get down to the... We know what it means, but that we don't want to make sure everyone else does too.
Exactly.
Okay, so, all right, that's good. So that's a typical market report, and there's lots out there. Don does a great job, and thanks to our guests here for a little bit describing what some of those things mean in that. Time for another song. So I think I found the song you're looking for, The Trues, but it's not labeled too well, so I hope I got the right one. So tell us, Eric, about The Trues.
Just another great Canadian band out there, and you guys will like it. It's a great song.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Decide if I should leave you here and stay with you a while. I love you, I love her, I need you.
I'm Ryan Garapi from ClearPath Robotics. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, so that was good fun. That was an Acadian band there, right?
From St. Catharines.
St. Catharines. So, boy, we've done a great job here so far, you guys. But you had a good idea in the break, so you've got some interesting trivia questions, Tony. You want to tell our listeners, we'll have a little reaction and go from
sure,
there.
Sure, I'll ask Eric and Devin. And Jeff, maybe you can help out here. On average, a Canadian consumes how many dozen eggs in a year?
I think three.
Oh, geez. Dozens of eggs in a year, huh? 74. Not even sure.
I'd say 12.
The answer is 14 and a half dozen eggs.
Really? I'm an egg guy. Gotcha.
It's all that protein.
It is. It's a...
That was good for you. That's
oh, totally.
You know, you
build muscle and...
Yeah. I know you, like, you're busy playing some sports in the summertime, so you got to eat lots of protein.
Exactly. Protein helps out to recovery. I'm getting older, too.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That happens. Tony, you got another one there?
What percentage of Canadians are farmers? Would it be 3%, 5%, or 10%?
2%.
3, 5, or 10?
3, 5, or 10. Oh, boy. Well, I'll go with 3%.
I'd probably say 3 as well.
And the answer is?
That's the answer.
Uh-huh.
I think they were looking over my shoulder.
Oh.
How much of the Earth's surface can be used to grow food?
Oh, that's a good one.
Half, a quarter, or 1/32nd?
I'll say 1/32nd.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Devin on that one, just because we're mostly made up of water. We'll go with that.
That's correct.
Wow.
Maybe we are looking over your shoulder, Tony.
What, that's not, does it say how much that is, by any chance?
How many hectares?
Yeah, how big
no,
is that?
No, it's not.
1/32nd of the Earth's area, like, is that the same size as, like, you know, Greenland or something, or Australia? What is, how big is that?
It would be like Australia.
Just a kind of a wild guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be pretty close. Good question. What's the next one you got there?
Let's see. I'll find one that will stump...
Stump the Schwab?
It'll stump these guys pretty easy, I think.
Yeah. Just wanted to give a little shout-out to everybody in FS Partners in Great Lakes Grade. How you guys doing today?
Yeah, I hope they're all working.
Yeah, diligently. Yes, us too, actually.
Well, you're doing a good job of presenting and enlightening our listeners, so I really appreciate you coming in today. I hope nobody minds that you're out of the office for a few hours and taking part in the show.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Yo, yeah. For sure, Jeff. I just said I was going to the washroom, so I'm pretty sure I...
You'll have to bring back some treats for your coworkers at this rate. They're going to really want to be looking for some favors. What do you got? Anything else there, Tony?
Yeah, we've got... why do farmers like to see worms in the soil? So this is not a yes or no or... So I want...
You want us to actually answer?
I do. I want a short answer.
Written answer, right?
I would say to break down and to add organic matter back to the soil.
He just looked over my shoulder. That was my answer, Tony.
Worms are a sign that the soil is healthy. I'll give Devin that one. That's good. Good answer.
Devin's up for one.
No.
We need a buzzer.
I know. We do. It's like Jeopardy.
True or false, farmers have to go to school to learn how to use sprays safely.
They should, just to be safe.
It's true.
Yes,
it is true. It's definitely true.
And that's every 3 years, I think, now. Is
yes,
the
it is.
You have to go back for the course, and I know the FS Partners puts on a workshop for that, and I very kindly go up and enjoy that. It's every 3 years posted.
March 19th, we're doing it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's considered a pesticide?
Grower course.
Grower course,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I think now there's a second level of that, which is what you would have to have at FS Partners for your applicators, I think. Like, there's a license for personal use, and there's a license for commercial use.
Commercial use,
okay.
Yeah.
So the testing's a little different, but mostly the same, as you got to know what you're doing. Another question, Tony? Or comment? Or good jokes?
Here's one. How do you tell the age of a horse?
Oh boy! By how many derbies he's won?
I know the answer to that one.
Jeff?
I knew Jeff would.
The ring around their hooves.
You have to measure their teeth.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Because I know that because that's how you do for cattle when they wanted to do age verification for whether the cattle should go through that separate stream for a mad cow disease and stuff like that.
Right, right. And the expression "long in the tooth."
So that's where it comes from. Oh,
yes,
gotcha.
Yes.
I'm too young for that one. Huh.
You just complain about being too old.
Well, it's a...
I know. It's
Eric does have pretty long teeth.
Here's a good one. One farmer produces enough food to feed how many people each year? So one farmer produces enough food to feed how many people each year?
You got some numbers there, like A, B, and C?
I do.
Okay,
I've got 50, 75, and 100. And what? This has changed. Like, 50 years ago, this number was far less.
I'll go with 100.
I'll go in the middle, 75.
Jeff?
I go for 100.
You're right.
100.
Yeah.
One for Eric.
That's right. 2-1, Hammock.
Yeah. Let's... Next question. What do you got?
We'll go back to another, how much do we eat?
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to know how much cheese we eat? How how much coffee, liters of coffee we drink. We don't produce coffee here, but how many kilograms of potatoes, that's a good one, do we eat in a year?
In Canada.
Wow. Kilograms of potatoes.
Throw some numbers out there.
Like, eat potatoes, that's almost every meal, isn't it? Every other meal?
Well, it used to be back in the day. I don't know.
I grew up on meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
So we'll do 50, 65, and 75 kilograms.
Kilograms of potatoes.
That's like 100 pounds or something.
That's 2.2 kilos in a pound. Or, sorry, pounds in a kilo. 2.2 pounds in a kilo.
65.
Devin?
What's the other two options?
55 and 75.
I'll go 75.
Let's say 55.
65. Another one for
Eric. Come on.
Well done.
Yeah, just another day at the office, gentlemen.
I hope that there's some questions that I think our listeners would be kind of keen to hear. Like, what does that mean to? Those are good questions. Where are you getting that from? What website are you on?
These are actually 4-H. I found a link through 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Farmers Are All About Food, Agri-Food Facts. So a lot of good information.
Killed a segment.
Yeah, it's good. It's almost stumped our stellar professional
stumped
audience
our
here.
Schwab, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hope that was fun for our listeners. We're going to play another tune here, and then we'll come back for a little bit more of an outro and so many last questions that may have popped up since we started talking this afternoon. So we'll play this song here, and I'm going to vote. We played Three Pistols by Tragically Hip already, didn't we?
Yes.
Elderly Woman Behind a Small Counter?
That's a great song. It's a Pearl Jam song. That'll be a fantastic song, Jeff.
And where did you hear this one? Do you remember Pearl Jam?
I was actually... it's probably my favorite band of all time, Pearl Jam. So it's this is a near and dear song to my heart. So,
okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
I seem to recognize your face. Haunting. Familiar, yeah. I can't seem to place it. Cannot find the candle of thought to light your name. Lifetimes are catching up with me. All these changes take place. I wish I'd seen the place, but no one's ever taken me. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. I swear I recognize your breath. Friends are slowly raising me. You wouldn't recall, for I'm not my former. It's hard when you're stuck upon the shelf. I change by not changing at all. Small town predicts my fate. Perhaps that's what no one wants to see. I just wanna scream hello. By God, it's been so long. Never dreamed you'd return. But now here you are. They fade away.
hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade.
This is Brendan Wiley-Toll from My Sustainable Canada. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening in. I hope you enjoyed our show to date. And we're just going to do a little wrap-up now and try to cover all the topics we did and make sure we didn't miss anything. My guest today... Are Eric Lockey and Tony Tennant and Devin Homick. And we first start our show in the first section talking with Tony a little bit about the production side of agriculture. And Tony, what did we talk about? We covered seed, soil, and fertilizers. Tell our listeners again what you do when you're meeting with a farmer to prepare for the year or post-year. I guess you could talk about the farmer after the harvest to discuss things that went wrong, and then talk to him before planting and harvest and in anticipation of the year after.
Mm-hmm. We follow the grower throughout the year. We're walking the fields right through to harvest, so mm-hmm. Looking for disease pressure, insect pressure, estimating yield. We do a Great Lakes Grain crop tour every year, mm-hmm. Estimate the yield, so that's helpful.
What are guys so far this year talking about as we get into 2014? Are they more worried about the right fertility, or are they more worried about insects?
The cold weather will help with the insects, yeah. Hopefully. But, okay. A lot of snow, a lot of frost, a late spring, yeah.
And the idea is that if it gets cold and a lot of insects are killed off, that we normally might come sooner than expected.
Right.
What a difference a year makes, eh, Tony?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So... in our second segment, we talked to both Devin and Eric about the marketing of grain. So, as our listeners probably understand, you know, you get paid for what you do, and we talked a little bit about the factors that determine the price of corn and beans, and maybe what were those factors that determine the price of crops that comes to mind. And there's so many. What are those factors our guys concerned about this year? What are you hearing are going to be price determinants? From you know, what farmers talk about, what this commentator talking about.
Well, the market always kind of trades about 6 months ahead. So today they're really looking at what that U.S. crop is going to look like. So today you get all the kind of pre-estimates of to how many acres they're going to plant, what kind of production there will be. So really, then it gets to when you're talking a price, it's going to become to supply and demand. Mm-hmm. Today they're carrying a fairly good supply. 2012 they were getting close to empty pipeline.
That was a drought year.
With the drought year in 2012. And, you know, 2013 brought on a fairly good crop, and demand had been slashed, so now you're actually getting a fairly good, they're talking, you know, a fairly good ending stock number.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where price, you know, doesn't have as much volatile, you know, upward potential when you start getting a big supply. So what you need to do is more demand to come into the marketplace to eat away some of that supply, and that'll generate some price to go up.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank goodness, most of the time we have lots of crop and there's not issues about availability or starvation in the long run or issues about not enough. And that was, it's only those drought years in like 2012. So
yeah, but even this year we found, following the 2012 crop, when we got into this year's harvest, because the harvest was so late, it took a while for corn to start coming off, and that started to... I know we pretty much ran out of some old crop corn in certain areas in this part of the province.
Mm-hmm. It just got, and so things are like they are within 1 or 2 weeks or hours. Just today in a paper, there's an article about Toyota and the challenge they've had with the getting materials in for their production line. And all it takes is you know, it's enough when there's a crash in the 401, but when it's a snowstorm and they mm-hmm. can't get that shipment from somewhere, it's very, very tight interaction, just-in-time
yes.
inventory.
Yeah, you can't have the line shut down, no.
Yeah, so same thing with the crop, you know. If it's a little bit late, then people had very reasonably assumed that it would be there at that time, and then it wasn't, so a little... It soon got stopped. There's lots of corn out there now, I think. So, we talked that we listened to a short video audio clip from Don Cabas, who is a marketing expert, and a lot of terms were tossed around in that segment that I think listeners might be interested in hearing. Like, whoever thought that the price of crop has anything to do with currency or other uses besides, if you understand, feed uses, but why are we talking about ethanol and crush and stuff? And so we got a little nice to talk about that. It's a complex thing. So, you know, what's the message to our listeners that the determination of price of corn is and crops is not easy?
It's a complex thing.
Mm-hmm.
So also, now, you know, most of our listeners, They see the price of farm products at the supermarket shelf, and then we're quite a ways away from that. But having said that, ultimately, the price of crops isn't usually an ingredient of stuff in the store. Any comments there, fellas? Last time I heard, some of the cheapest food in the world in Canada is 10% of our income goes to buying food. Is that...
Yep, and we have that Family Food Day on February 3rd every year. That's the day that we've earned enough money to pay for our food for the entire year.
Ah, yes, that's right. That's coming up here soon.
Yes, it is.
I remember seeing a factor on that I mentioned. I'm glad you mentioned it, Tony. It's passed away, but within the first week of January, that's when the farmer has received his part of the total food bill.
Yes.
And then by the anniversary date, you're talking about Food Freedom Day.
So that means, yeah, Food Freedom Day, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's the processors that are making the money, not the farmer.
Yeah. Well, we certainly need everyone to make a profit, just as how much, and just so people know, education is way simpler than trying to refute falsehoods. So that's our job here, is to try to get that message out to people that, you know, the where does the price of food come from? Within our show's boundaries, I'm a pretend farmer, and you guys are the suppliers. So Food Freedom Day for us was January 7th, I think. That's where our combined efforts were paid for by society to have, you know, a trailer load of corn or soybeans ready to go somewhere to its next use. And so it... And this is a wilder region. This scene is repeated all over the province, wherever you find rural Ontario... A local elevator system, that's the kind of work it takes to get to that point in the scheme of things. Anything else, you guys? It's hard to do justice to everything we got, but I think we did a pretty good job here.
We had a great time, Jeff.
Okay.
Just a great time.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll talk some more about agriculture and stuff that our city cousins might not be aware of when it comes time to eat food or drive their car or paint their or print something on a piece of paper with soy ink, so that sort of thing. There's a lot of stories in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eric, we're going to play one more song on the way out. We'll thank our listeners first, and we'll thank you guys. Any particular choices here, Eric? Did you bring on Bad Timing by Blue Radio? Is that your song?
No, that's not mine.
It's a good song.
What about Dissident by Pearl Jam?
That's a great song too, Jeff.
Oh,
love
Pearl Jam.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Pearl Jam back to back.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, folks. This has been episode number 71 of the Agriculture Show, and it is January the 20-something in 28th in 2014. We'll see you next week.